So great you're back to Behavior Strategies for Class. Today is How to Make Your Class Cohesive, Part 2. Before we get started, a couple reminders to hit that subscribe button and share with anybody else who think could learn and grow from this podcast as well. And don't forget, I am offering free coaching sessions. Sign up using the Calendly link in the show notes. I can't wait to collaborate with you. Welcome to Behavior Strategies for Class. I am Diane Bachman, your behavior paraprofessional with over 15 years of experience working in special education. And I'm so glad you're here because I'll be teaching you about social-emotional learning, behavior strategies, trauma-informed care, and more. So if you are tired of being frustrated and not knowing what to do with your students who have challenging and disruptive behavior, you're in the right place. Now, if you're ready to become more equipped to help your students learn and grow, let's listen in to today's episode. Behavior. You must first connect to correct. And I really believe that's true. And that is from Nortnick at Pinterest. Not sure who that is, but I saw that quote and I really liked it. So I wanted to share that with you. So now I want to share a little bit more about how I got started in working in special education. So when my youngest went to school, I decided that I wanted to work part-time and still be able to be home with my kids when they were little and still be able to be involved. And of course, working at the school gives me the same schedule as them. And so I applied and they had a few openings, and one was the lunch lady. No offense to anybody who is a lunch lady, the recess monitor, and then working in a sped class. And they asked me what would I prefer at that time. And I'm like, I can do recess monitor. Like, that would be fun. I'm outside. It's really cool. Well, then they called me back and they said, well, we'd really like to offer you the position in the sped class. And I was like, okay. I mean, I've never worked in special education, but I was definitely open to it because, like I said, it was the same schedule as my kids, and so I was willing to try it. And, you know, if you've never worked in special education, walking into a classroom of kinder through sixth grade at that time is definitely a little overwhelming. And, but it was great because I had such a great team that they were all great mentors. And as I saw them love on those students in the way they taught them and talked to them, like, it was just amazing. And so that really helped put me at ease. And so I was able to, like, you know, get at their level. And when I was working with them, whether we were working at the table or if they wanted to sit on the floor, then I would sit on the floor with them and work with them. Be able to, you know, read them books or go outside and play. Like, those were all fun ways that I got to connect with those students. And I just really fell in love with all of them. They were so much fun. And just to see their little growths throughout the year. And of course, their growths and their goals look a lot different than Gen Ed. You know, so if we could have a student go to the bathroom by themselves, like, that was huge and we would celebrate. Or they actually hung up their jacket and their backpack by themselves. You know, all of these fun things that we got to celebrate working together in special education. And so that started my journey and my career working in special education. And so I've been at quite a few different schools. Then I moved to Colorado, and they actually have a behavior program here, which I had never heard of. But I got to sub in there and find out these students have disabilities, but it's more the social emotional because unfortunately they have been through a lot of trauma and some of them were still going through it and some of them are still going through it and some of them are foster kids. And so it's definitely a different part of special education, but I have found that I really enjoy working with them and being able to connect with them because that is a big challenge. And that's even a challenge for some of your students in your class that you may not know any history, anything about their background, and they have a hard time connecting. So you have to continue to be consistent. And you are when you show up each and every day to teach them. It really does speak volumes for them to see that you're another caring adult in their life. Or you may be the only caring adult in their life. So I just want to encourage you to keep showing up. So that was my start and still going in special education, and I love it. And I love being able to connect with my students and see them grow as well. It's just been a blessing to be able to work with them. So, again, you guys are amazing, and I just want to say thank you. So, why is it important to connect with your students? Now, I've heard some controversy about connection. Connect. What does that really entail? And do I really need to do that with my students? Does it really matter? Why should I connect? Like, these students are not my BFFs. Like, I'm not going out to hang out with them, over the weekend. Although sometimes I have heard of some teachers going to some of their students' games. That obviously is above and beyond. And if that works for your schedule, students love to see you outside of school. You know how it is if you run into them at the store, like they're super excited. What's funny is sometimes when I would run into some of my students with special needs and we were at the store, they would always be like, What are you doing here? Like, why are you out of the school? It would take them a minute to realize that I actually exist outside the school too. But anyways, why is it important to connect with your students? So connection creates a positive, supportive learning environment for your students. Your students feel seen, heard, and valued when they are in that classroom. And the more you get to know them, you get to know their interests and where they're at academically, and then how you can support them. And I know you do testing as well, but it's also realizing, okay, his behavior really spikes up during reading. Why is that? Is he just not wanting to read just to avoid it? Or is he truly struggling with reading? So you can kind of pinpoint, like, when are your children, your students struggling? Is it reading? Is it during math? Is it during writing? We have a handful of students that struggle with writing, and especially in our behavior program because of what they've been through or are still going through, they have a lot of absences or they have a lot of mental absences where they just don't have the capacity to learn yet. And so as our behavior program, we are able to help teach them strategies to work through those feelings and to get as much academics done as we can. And so, again, as your students feel that connection with you, they learn to trust you because you're a person of your word. You say what you mean what you say, and that's where those expectations come in. And then you have that communication with them, and now you're building that connection with them. As you do all these three steps and build your cohesive classroom, your students will not only strive in their learning, but they will thrive. Like they will be so excited to be in your class, to show up the next day, to come tell you whatever it was that happened that night, or what they're looking forward to for the weekend. I mean, it's so much fun to see their happy, smiling faces in the morning. Of course, I know that's not going to be every day. I get it, because I'm the same way. Not every day do I show up with, a big happy smile on my face, unless I have a big Starbucks or my own coffee. But Starbucks always brings a smile. I don't know why, but it does. And also, as you build that connection with your students, they are going to feel more comfortable in engaging in your classroom. So now they know that they're cared for and that you want to hear what they have to say. And so they feel more comfortable in sharing and engaging in whatever it is that you're teaching. And instead of dreading that they're going to get yelled at or maybe laughed at, they know that you are there for them. And that's huge. And granted, students still have different personalities, so they're not always going to want to like raise their hand. But I will tell you, there will be more engagement in your room if they feel safe, if they feel cared for and valued in your classroom. So I want to share a little bit about Dr. Bruce Perry because I find him fascinating and I love learning from him. And I have read his book. It's A Boy Who Was Raised as a Dog. And it is pretty intense. But the most important thing that he got out of there was the power of a caring adult in a traumatized child. There is power in that, in changing lives, for sure. And then he also does a lot of neuroscience research. And so he has found that as you, as a child feels safe, the cortex in their brain begins to open up so that they can learn and they can connect with you. That's huge when they feel safe. And also, he says connections really are moments of your day. So it doesn't have to be this big, elaborate occasion where we all have to get together and share our life stories, in order to connect. He's not saying that. He's saying the research finds that you make connections with your students moments throughout the day. And it could be moments as you're teaching and encouraging, moments that you're teaching a student how to hold their pencil correctly, moments that you're sharing about your favorite restaurant that you just went to, or moments where your student is sharing what they got for their birthday. And what they're looking forward to when grandma comes to visit. I mean, these are just moments. Again, it doesn't have to be a big, elaborate thing. And that's the research. That's what research shows. And that's what Dr. Bruce Perry shows as well. And I'm sure most of you heard about his book with Oprah called What Happened to You. And just that title alone is huge because I still have work with teachers who are just so frustrated with some of our challenging students and their behavior and, just not understanding. And sometimes I have just said, like, maybe we need to think about, like, what happened to this student to make them act this way or give them this reaction. Because there is a history sometimes behind that. And so just being able to step back and say, what happened to your student? And granted, you may not have any students who have been traumatized. But I would also remind that divorce can be very traumatizing for students as well. Just the whole shift and change of their family and being shifted here and there and different expectations at mom's house and dad's house and, mom's step dad and, all of it can get a bit overwhelming for your students. So don't write off per se that divorce can be traumatizing for your students. So again, that's the power of you being that other caring adult in your student's life. And so Dr. Perry's quote is, relationships are the agents of change, and the most powerful therapy is human love. Here's another controversy is, do teachers, educators have to love their students? And sometimes I feel like, well, it depends what you feel like love means, I guess. To me, it's like you have a strong feeling of care, for your students. Like you value them, you see them as a person. You know what I mean? Like, I have seen some teachers talk to their students like, it's terrible. I just want to say, would you like me or another staff member or admin to come in and speak to you like that? No. Guys, if you're frustrated, please just walk out of the room for a second or walk to the door or turn your back or whatever it is. Deep breaths. Please, I would encourage you, do not yell at your students if you can help it. Please. It really does nobody any good. They shut you off when you start yelling. Okay, that's my little side note. So, what are some ways that you can connect with your students? What are some ways that you can connect? Again, like I've said, if you have time to do a morning meeting with your students, I think it's really powerful and is a great way to connect. One way I have seen a second grade class do it, they all sit in a circle, and the teacher chooses one student to start, and they turn and give a handshake to the student sitting next to them. And they say, good morning, Roger. And then Roger says, good morning, Adam. And then Roger turns and does the same thing to the next student and to the next student until it goes around the room. Because I can't tell you how many classrooms I've been in. I'd be like, well, where's Megan? And they're like, I don't know who Megan is. And, Megan's in their classroom and probably sits right next to them. I don't know. But just another way to connect the peers, the students together to each other is just as important as you, as the caring adult in the room, to connect with the students. And so that again comes back to that social emotional piece in where they connect and interact and value each other. Well, then we remind students, like, you don't have to like everybody. Like, not everybody is going to be your BFF, but it's also teaching them empathy and teaching them how to just be kind. Like, just because you don't want to play with Sam during lunch at recess doesn't mean you have to be rude and mean to him. Or just because, Susie, you don't want to play with Susie, you have another little club at recess, doesn't mean you have to tell her to shut up and go away. You can still acknowledge the other person. You can still be nice. You can still be kind and respectful, even though you're not BFFs. Like, that's okay to not have to be best friends with everybody. But being able to connect as a class and all together, and then she would have, the teacher would have like one or two people share whatever it is they wanted to share for the class. And so that was another way of everybody getting to know that student. So I would really encourage you, if you're able to do some type of morning meeting or morning greeting, so that everybody gets the chance to acknowledge each other. I've seen another way that teachers have done that, and everybody stands up and you walk around the room and you make sure that you say hi and good morning to everybody in the classroom. Or, you've done those games where you have maybe a list of two or three things of who owns a dog, who owns a cat, who has brothers and sisters, and then they have to go around the room and find the students who have that, or those things. And so that's another way that you can connect as a class, and that's another fun activity for your students. There is also a lunch bunch. So we used to do lunch bunch once a day, and it was our students who really were struggling the most. And so we would use that time to play a game, but also teach strategies at the same time. Because again, that's a social environment. And so, how do they learn? How do they interact with each other in really taking turns and being nice and not getting angry about whatever it is that you're playing? I would really encourage a lunch bunch. And of course, doesn't have to, I would not recommend doing it every single day, because I know your lunch time is sacred time to be alone, to get stuff done. And to bring in students every day is not helpful for you. So I get that. But if you're able to do it weekly, or maybe every other week, or maybe you just do it once a month, whatever it is that works for you is another great way to be able to connect together as your cohesive classroom. And another way I have seen teachers come in and sit with their class in the cafeteria as well. And students love to see that too. They love to have you come and just hang out during lunch as well. And granted, again, that could be, every other week or once a month when you go in and sit with them, for lunchtime. That's another awesome way to connect. Another idea I've heard to connect is writing acknowledgments. So I've seen teachers, they have a little post-it in their hand. I think sometimes as they're teaching, and other times it's, teachers have given the assignment and now students are working independently and they are walking around with a post-it note. And they are just putting post-it notes of encouragement on their students' desks. So you're not really interrupting anything. They're still learning, but you're just taking a couple minutes to acknowledge your students. And I mean, it could be as easy as, "It's great to see you today. I appreciated your smile when you came in." Or, "Thank you for helping Johnny with his writing." Or, "Thanks for showing Sarah where the bathroom was." Whatever it is, it could be just little things. And having that positive reinforcement is amazing and really changes their attitude, their demeanor. Like they're sitting up tall now, like they're smiling at their friends, like they're so happy. They're like, I got a note. Did you get a note? And granted, I don't know if you have time to do your whole class and write something about your whole class, or if, maybe once a week or once a day, it's five students until you get through your whole class. And then you could also turn it over as your old with your older students and having them write encouragement to their peers. And they could say they do two a day. And they could say, thanks for playing with me at recess. Or I appreciate your friendship. Little notes, like these are lifesavers for some of these students. So I would really encourage you to try that out. Another way to connect would be the end of the day. Now, we had a fifth grade class. She would get her students together. I don't know if it was the last 5, 10 minutes of her class, which actually motivated the class to like get everything cleaned up, get their backpacks, get everything done that needed to be done. And then they all sat in a group. And she had a beach ball, and she would say, I think it just went back and forth. Like one day it was, we're going to talk about our wins for the day. So she could say, I'm glad I finished, making the 50 copies for math for tomorrow. And then she would throw the ball and pass it to the next student. And then the student had to share their win. And it could be, I enjoyed playing basketball with, my friends today. And then passed it back and forth. So that every student got a chance to share their wins for the day. And then what was also cool to switch it and have them share what was their struggle for the day. Because I think sometimes we miss those teaching moments of students who struggle, who maybe make mistakes, or who are not good at something, or something doesn't go the way that they expected, and they just don't know how to deal with it. And so, this, by being able to express it and to know that everybody else in the classroom had a struggle that day, it reminds them that they're okay. There's nothing wrong with them. That's totally normal to feel that. But we want to try and help them not to stay feeling that way, but to learn from it. I mean, I have a teacher, first grade teacher. She even reminds them now, like, mistakes are for learning. Like, you made a mistake, let's learn from it and move on. And that's like crucial because I feel like some students really struggle on how to make it through when something has not gone their way. And one story to share is one of our students brought her own coffee to school. Get it? She's an older student. And she tripped, or no, she didn't trip. The cup of coffee fell and spilt on the carpet. So I get it. Like we all know, in the morning, we need our coffee. And yeah, if I could and I spilt my coffee, well, if I could lay down and throw a tantrum, probably sometimes I would. But this is not the coping skills we want to teach them. But that's exactly what she did. Like we were crying and throwing ourselves on the floor and, can you give me more coffee? And of course, no, we cannot get you more coffee. You just have to wait until tomorrow, And granted, to us, to me, I felt like that's a small problem. Yes, it's very disappointing and it makes me sad, that she couldn't have her coffee, but at the same time, like, is life going to be over? No. So, anyways, I'm not really sure where I went on that one, but to come back and say coping skills or sharing, okay. Here we go. Sharing those mistakes of the day. I think are really important, as well as sharing the positives and the wins for the day. So if you're able to have that connection, to come back and reconnect at the end of the day, is super beneficial as well for your cohesive classroom. Another way I've seen is that, which I'm sure some of you have seen, the beach balls that have like idea, que like questions on there that you can share. And so if you throw it and it says, what was the best thing about today? And then you share it and you pass it on. And then it says, what was your favorite part of the day today? And then you pass it. So those are just some other ideas that you could throw around, literally, on getting to know your students and connecting with your students that way. And I'm sure there's lots of others, just checking my notes, ways to connect. Like I said, they are moments throughout the day. Recess time is another way to connect. I also worked with a teacher who loved to play football with his students during one of their recess times. And of course, the students love that. They love seeing you out there playing with them, connecting with them. And granted, I know not everyone's going to get out there and play football, but just taking that time to connect with them. Doing little special activities, that your class can earn for the week. And then on Friday, like you all go outside for a picnic, or I don't know, whatever it is. I'm sure, of course, Pinterest has lots of great ideas, and you could definitely Google other ideas on how to connect with your students. But those are just some of my top ways that I have seen be successful. Ah, one other thing I thought of too. This isn't really a connection per se, and maybe it is. Anyways, I've seen teachers that have like a mirror, like a tall mirror, and they have acclamations all around it. And so the students will walk up and say, and they can pick whatever one they want to say. And they can say, "I am smart." And the teacher is there to give a high five for that. Yes, you are smart. So she just validates what they say. And I think it is another way to connect, but it's also for them to say it, to verbalize, and then having the teacher acknowledge that, fist pump, high five it. It's awesome. I mean, again, to see kids smile. Another fun thing I have seen teachers do is they take a box or a bucket and they put a mirror on the bottom of it and they say, "Okay, I'm going to show you today who my favorite student is." And then they all come up one by one and look in the box, and of course it's them. And I love that because, again, that shows value, acknowledgement, and that they are cared for and safe in that cohesive classroom. So I hope you take into consideration some of these ideas on how to connect with your students if you are not doing it already, and you will see your students grow and thrive as you continue to learn and grow and connect together. Thanks so much for listening. I truly appreciate your support. And if I have encouraged you, motivated you to continue to learn, to support your students, even better, to help them strive in your classroom, please leave a review, hit that subscribe button so that others can see they can learn and grow here as well. Thank you.